You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. You're listening to Intermezzo, and I'm pleased to welcome back into our studios Daniel Vega Albela, Artistic Director of one of our newer ensembles and the only string chamber orchestra in the region, Camerata del Sol, and Sarah Daughtry, who is the coordinator of the vocal area here at New Mexico State University, about a concert happening tomorrow night. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much.
Great to be here.
We'll talk about Camerata del Sol in a few minutes, Daniel, but let's launch into the music because it's very seasonal. This is a chamber concert, and you'll be performing a massive work by Joseph Haydn, The Seven Last Words of Christ. It was originally written for a bishop or a priest in Spain, and I know that he then revised it to be for string quartet.
Yes, he did.
Different arrangements. So tell us about this vocal and string work. And since you'll be singing, Sarah Daughtry, you start.
Sure. Yes, Haydn was commissioned by his publisher, Artaria, to do a version for string quartet after the orchestral version. And then he also composed another version as a traditional oratorio with soloists and chorus. So this version was created by a Spanish musicologist in Madrid in 2000 for soloist and string quartet. So what he took was Haydn had written the text for the seven last words, each section, and written them the text under the first violin part. So what Peris has done has taken that and transcribed that into a vocal part.
Okay, back up a second. It was originally written as a vocal work.
No, it was
just orchestral. Mm-hmm. Okay,
when it was originally performed in Spain, in Cadiz, Spain, the priest would speak the words, and then each section was performed as a small sonata.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And now that version is also done as a string quartet version, where you have somebody read the text, and then the string quartet will play the music.
Uh-huh. Yes, and I did read that Haydn himself found the commission challenging because he had to write seven movements plus maybe introduction and something at the end, all sort of slow movements, and how to do that while keeping the audience interested. So it was just read, and now it's sung.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tell us what the texts are, it says the seven last words, but it's actually several texts.
Yes, that's exactly right. We start out with as Christ is being taken, right, and taken prisoner, that he says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." I thirst, sitio, is another one of them. O God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm trying to think. Woman, here is your son. And son, here is your mother. This one is, we say, amen, you will have rest in paradise. And then finally, I think it's I commend you, Father, soul into your hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. How did you come to decide to do this work?
Well, you know, the first time that I performed this, I was a student in New York City. It was such a long, long time ago. It must have been 1987, 1988, and they just asked me to play for this this service. And we did a different version. We actually did a version for string quartet and four voices. It was just a job to do. I was not familiar with the piece, and then I played it and I loved it. And given the nature of Camerata del Sol, it's meant to be a flexible ensemble. And it was one of the pieces that I always had wanted to do again, because I loved it so much. I mean, you know, I am a big, huge fan of Haydn's music, and this is no exception. And so that's the first time that I became acquainted with it. And for whatever reason, I never performed it again. And when we created this ensemble, one of the ideas was to explore these pieces that may not be performed so often. And so I thought this is a great opportunity, given the time, where we can find a space to perform, to do something like this. And we are lucky enough to have a wonderful singer. Two singers.
Mm-hmm.
This makes it a little bit more interesting. To join us this time with Camerata.
Okay. Let's just say a few words about Camerata del Sol, because it was founded a year and a few months ago. You had a first concert about almost a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit less. And when you say a flexible ensemble, I think what you're saying is the who's playing is going to shift sometimes from concert to concert?
Yes. The whole idea of behind Camerata del Sol, where we have a couple of different goals. One of them is to create a professional level ensemble that at the same time is going to work as a training ensemble for some of the more talented musicians here. As you know, we've been working to develop a strong string department for mm-hmm. years and years now. We came here in 2009, and we've been working hard to create a thriving environment for the strings department. And I thought it would be nice to give some of the more advanced students, some of our graduate students who are actively pursuing master degrees or actively working professionally, to have an opportunity to work with us to create a high-level chamber ensemble that is going to be performing repertoire that is not going to be typically performed by a symphony orchestra or by smaller groups. But at the same time, because it is a training ensemble, it gives us the flexibility to go from chamber orchestra to octet to sextet, and even in this case to a string quartet that is working in two different configurations, one of which is the configuration for Haydn, which is string quartet and soprano, and then for the other song that we're going to do, Chanson Perpetuelle, it's string quintet, so string quartet, piano, and mezzo-soprano.
Okay, we'll talk about the second piece in just a few minutes. Just let's go back to the Haydn. Sarah, what are the challenges? And I understand you're using two voices, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the part that Haydn wrote the text under is written for the first violin, so it's obviously not meant to be sung, even though it's a lovely thing to hear them. But the range is incredibly wide, from the very top, a top A, high A, to a sustained low G. So in singing through it and getting to know it, I really felt like it would be better served to have a soprano and a mezzo-soprano voice.
So did you just split it up yourselves?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so who's the other singer?
Well, and again, you were mentioning opportunities for graduate students. We have a very talented graduate student in vocal performance, Ida Olguin, who will be singing the soprano lines, I should say, and then I'll be singing the more mezzo-soprano lines.
All right, so what are the big challenges of this work other than the range?
I think expressing the text in a way that's meaningful, especially since a lot of it is written with violin articulations, even in the score. So we want to make sure that we have, the text is sounding in a way that is really coming through and matching the violin articulations, but at the same time being vocal in its expression.
I love the fact that this is an arrangement from 2000, because it just underscores that even a piece that was written and published 250 years ago continues to evolve in its performance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, let's face it, it's Haydn.
Yeah.
So
you also don't hear a lot of Haydn's vocal music.
No.
I mean, even though he
enough.
Wrote quite a bit, opera and chamber music and
oratorios,
you know, but you don't hear, other than maybe the standard masses, you don't hear a lot of Haydn's vocal music, so it's a nice change, I think.
Yeah, and this is a wonderful piece, and I wonder why it's not performed more often. Maybe because, I mean, it may be challenging, as you mentioned, in that most of the movements are slow movements, you know, so it requires for the audience to be in a certain state of mind. And I think that this is why I thought it would be very appropriate to do it now, which is when people are thinking about these things.
Yeah. And I understand there's an earthquake as well.
Yes, there is. And it's very interesting. You know, the structure of the piece is interesting because the quartet opens with the first movement. There's no voice. So it's just a quartet number. And then the very end of the piece is also just a quartet number. And what I find interesting, obviously, you know, Haydn being a very dramatic kind of guy, you know, he was a jokester, but he also was very dramatic in his writing. And it particularly if you explore some of his string quartet slow movements or even some other, you know, the very fire movements. You know, he's a master at creating drama through the strings. He's got the Farewell Symphony, for instance, which is just a wonderful piece. And Il Terremoto is basically referring to the very last moment of Jesus at the cross when he dies. And what I find interesting is that the only gospel that talks about this is the gospel according to St. Matthew, right? Mm-hmm. And he talks about the fact that there was an earthquake. Mm. And the dead started coming out of their graves, and like this whole and the Roman guards were so terrified after this happened. This is when they realized, oh, we just killed the Son of God, you know. And it's interesting that he picked that particular gospel as a source for the seven last words and the I guess the backdrop of the piece.
And that's the ending.
And yes. The end of it is that it's basically what happens when he's, you know, this chaos and, you know, dead people walking, roaming the earth. And
the piece takes like an hour or close.
It's about an hour, 5 minutes, mm-hmm. more or less.
So mm-hmm. that's a way to wake everybody up, right?
Yes, yes.
In the original service, I can just imagine.
It's just great writing.
Daniel, who will be playing in the string quartet role besides yourself?
So going back to the whole idea that that this is one of the missions of Camerata is to be a training ensemble. We're going to be playing with all NMSU graduates and one current master degree violinist, Amalia Zeitlin, mm-hmm. and then we're also playing with Julio Campos, who just graduated from his master degree here.
Violist.
Mm-hmm. And we're actually working with two violists. Elizabeth Green will be playing for the Haydn, and Julio Campos will be playing for the Chausson. Elizabeth Green just graduated with her undergraduate degree, and she's both of them are wonderful violists, and so I'm so proud to be working on a project like this because they sound really, really good. And we're also working with cello, Ciara Caicedo, who's also a recent graduate of NMSU. And then for the second program that we will repeat at the Newman Center on the 14th, the principal cello of the El Paso Symphony, James Carney, will be joining us.
Okay, so we've talked about the Haydn, and we've alluded to the second piece, Chanson Perpetuelle, Perpetual Song by Ernest Chausson, French mm-hmm. composer mm-hmm. of the 19th century, sort of later 19th century. A love poem, I think. Is it?
Sort of.
Okay, tell us about Chausson and this piece.
Oh, well, okay. So Chausson unfortunately died very young in a bicycle accident, so he really didn't get a chance to fulfill what a marvelous career trajectory I think he would have had. This is the last published work, which is also equally sad. And he was, you know, a part of the Salon of the day in Paris, knew everybody, studied at the Conservatoire with Massenet, with Franck, and knew Debussy, everybody, you know, knew all the poets and everybody. So he was really involved with the symbolist poetry movement of the time. And Charles Cros, whose poem this is from, is not actually very well known as a symbolist, but he published with Rimbaud and Mallarmé. So it's one of those intensely tragic, romantic tales, very Ophelia-like, of a woman who falls in love, and when she gets rejected, she throws herself into the pond and lets herself go. So
it's pretty much your typical romantic poem.
Typical, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to wrap my brain around the combination of these two pieces, really different in mm-hmm. terms of their texts. The sacred texts of the Haydn, and then this very romantic, tragic French poem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this piece at all,
gloriously
but I love
beautiful.
Everything I've ever heard of Ernest Chausson, so mm-hmm. I'm sure it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And particularly, he's wonderful with chamber and sort of unusual chamber groupings. So will you be singing this one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is, again, this is a favor to me because I have loved this piece since I was an undergraduate, and I've always wanted to perform it as it was meant to be performed. So this is a wonderful opportunity and a favor for me to get to do something.
And it sits perfectly with her voice. I mean, she sounds so great. We just read through it a couple of days ago. And she started singing, and I was thinking, wow, we're going to have to put out a lot of energy to match what she's doing. So, you know, hopefully we'll figure it out by Friday.
Daniel, what are the challenges for you as both a teacher and a performer in this role with Camerata? Two very different styles of music, from Haydn to Chausson, or maybe not.
Well, you know, it's actually a really good group. And I think that they're all very sensitive, and they are always listening. I think that you know, with matters of style, the dynamic of the group is very important. You know, and I think that, you know, on an initial reading, we felt really good about what we have to do. I think in terms of challenges, like I said, you know. Sarah's voice is so powerful that we're going to have to figure out a way that we can match that intensity in the chanson. Because, like I said, I think that the piece sits perfectly for her register. So she sounds very comfortable, and she's got this wonderful projecting voice. So, you know, I think that anytime you work with a configuration other than a string quartet, within the string quartet, you're always going to have to figure out the balance, mm-hmm. you know, how to match better. So, and then these guys are so easy to work with, really. I mean, the only challenge sometimes is that, you know, Amalia will say, "You're a little sharp here, dude." So, you know, I just gotta, you know, I gotta fix it. And that's fine. You know, I have to trust that, you know, we've trained them well. So,
that's great.
Yep.
Well, the concerts, there are two of them, with Camerata del Sol, Sarah Daughtry, and Ida Olguin. The first is tomorrow night at the Atkinson Hall at 7:30. And then a week later on Palm Sunday, April 14th, at the Newman Center, a second performance at
3 o'clock.
Music of Haydn, The Seven Last Words of Christ, and the Chanson Perpetuelle by Ernest Chausson. Thank you, Sarah Daughtry and Daniel Vega Albela, for coming in and telling us about it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. It's been a privilege.